This is I Should Be Writing, episode 21 in season 17. I said it backwards, but I said it.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next.
So hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast and live stream for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I am a science fiction author and live streamer and podcaster and editor. I do lots of stuff. I wear lots of hats. I stream 4 days a week on Twitch. Two of them are this podcast, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Work continues on novel edits, and I'm feeling kind of strange because I've made a number of breakthroughs, like, came up with good reasons why certain things are happening. Good explanations, which is, you know, hard to do sometimes in science fiction. And I have a text in to a friend of mine to help me describe something else with proper science. Yeah, I got it. I got it going on. So, I'm actually really happy with the edits I'm making. They're just going really slowly. I thought that I gave myself enough time, and I still underestimated. So I warned my husband, I'm like, as we get closer to the end of the month, I'm probably going to be doing more and more frantic editing in the office. And then after this, I have two more projects that are still in edits. I thought I was done with one, but it got kicked back with a couple of comments. Hopefully that one won't take too long, but I'm so bad at underestimating how long this one took, I can't count on anything anymore. Yeah, still got two more edit projects after this one, both of them much smaller than a full novel, so I'm not so worried about that. But I'm kind of looking forward to mid-April as a do not much of anything time. I'm actually quite proud of myself for being so productive consistently so far this year. But yeah, I'm gonna need a break. So yeah, I'm happy with the way the book is going, but it's just a little slower than I wanted. But I think as we get towards the end, my focus is going to get more and more laser-like, and I'll be able to get it done on time. At least I'm not like flailing around in procrastination, because that is the worst feeling. I at least feel like I'm doing good work, which helps my self-confidence a lot. Which, considering how you guys know my self-confidence, that's pretty amazing. But we had a question in the Discord that I've covered before, but you know, I'm having this problem now, so I'd like to address it. Which is, how do you stay focused on one project when so many shiny things keep cropping up, especially when you have no contracts or external deadlines to keep you on track? Now, the second part is the really, really tough part, but we'll address the first thing first. Right now, I have a novel, a novella, and some audio drama scripts I need to edit. I have three projects on my plate. I'm kind of reading for comfort food right now, so I'm rereading a couple of rom-coms that I enjoy. Audible Originals just put out a couple of new ones, and it's nice because I'm reading outside my comfort zone, because it's got a couple of gay rom-coms and it's got an Indian-focused rom-com, so get the other cultures, other sexualities, you know, to broaden my mind. And it's really good storytelling, too. But what it's doing is it's reminding me of that romance I would like to write. I like writing funny things, and I feel like romance is hard for me, and I feel like it's a challenge I want to take on, if only to make my science fiction better. Steampunk wants to know, what novel are you working on? I have a novel that is unnamed, that is with Ace Books, and we haven't decided on a title yet, but the elevator pitch is Murder, She Wrote meets Babylon 5. It's about what happens when a woman around whom murders happen and she has to solve them. If she were really real, then she would be a pariah. No one would want to be around her, and the police would suspect her for every single murder she was next to. She has had enough, she's fed up, there's been first contact, there is an alien space station that's not real keen on humans, but she figures, I could ask. So she goes to live on an alien space station with a bunch of aliens, hoping that murders won't happen there. So that's the broad idea of the book. Also with her is a fussy ambassador who's trying to get humans to be allowed to be on the station as tourists, and also a soldier who's AWOL not of his own choosing, but only because he got abducted. He got abducted by some, like, basically joyriding teenagers whose ship was on autopilot, so they couldn't drop him off somewhere else on Earth. They just took him with them to the station. So he's stuck. So those are the three humans on the station. And then there's a bunch of aliens, and then maybe some more humans show up. I don't know. Angela Lansbury space vibes. Yeah, the mood is a little dark and a little humorous. So my main character is a young adult woman, not an older woman. But there is... Yeah, I like murder grannies too much. And there is one in this book. There's another one in this book. And... I'm not saying whether she is the murderer or not, but she has some violence in her past. Murder Granny. I love them. I really do. Basically, because the only people underestimated more than, like, girls and young, like, teenage girls are old women. So, I tend to think they're perfect for hardcore violence. Also, my grandma was very tough, and I miss her. But that's the book I am editing right now. So I'm reading these rom-coms just for fun. I feel like just rereading a book at least gives me a little bit more mental stimulation than re-watching The Office or Schitt's Creek on my tablet while I'm cooking or driving somewhere. Not watching, I would be listening to it, but you know what I mean. So I'm going back to the rom-coms, and lately all I'm doing is thinking about that book I want to write. And that is detrimental to my plans for the next 30 days. So it's I am feeling the shiny new project is so much shinier than what I'm working on right now. And where these feelings come from, I'm not a psychologist, just go ahead and say that now. But where these feelings come from is like when you fall in love. You see someone and you get that crush and you get that dopamine hit, and everything, every action they do is sexy and everything they say is brilliant, and you just want to be around them all the time. And then later on you find out that, you know, they fart or they chew with their mouth open, or, you know, they really like that sports team that you can't stand, or essentially you find out that they're human. And that's when the relationship becomes more of companionship and working together, which is technically what makes relationships last. But you lose that sense of that hardcore crush. And I know some people, I guess if they're serial monogamists or something, they're those are the kind of people that are with somebody until that wears off, and then they go to somebody else. Which is not healthy, I'll just say. Again, I'm not a psychologist, but pretty sure that's not healthy. But it's the same way with creative projects, because you get this sense of, I have an idea and it's brilliant and I love it and it's going to be the best thing and it's going to sell for so much money and I'm going to change lives with this book. It's going to be so cool. And it's so much better than the crap I'm writing right now. And it's so much better than the crap you're writing right now because it doesn't exist yet. And by existing, it will start to be a project that you have to work on, and it will lose its luster. And I think a lot of beginning writers have this problem where they're writing, and then it gets hard, and then they get another idea, and they're like, well, clearly that's a better idea than what I have now, so I'll just move to the next idea. And this is something you need to learn to not do. You've got to get over that, and this is where the ditch digging comes in. I have another podcast called Ditch Diggers, where we talk about the business side of writing and how, you know, if you really want writing to be your main source of income, then you better not worry about writer's block, because you still have to get something turned in. So people say, you know, find what you love and then find a way to get paid for it, and then you're doing what you love your whole life. That's not exactly true, because once what you love becomes work, it's less shiny. And I know people who never want to monetize their creative stuff because of that. I mean, I know I will never, ever, ever play violin in public with anybody. I don't even want to do a recital. I have no expectations at all. I am merely learning the violin for myself. And it's nice to not have that stress. And you know, if I don't practice for a week, I feel a little guilty, but I'm not hurting anybody, and I'm not hurting anybody's expectations. I'm spending the money. It's my money. So, and my teacher's, well, he's making the money. The only thing that bothers him is the fact, and he hasn't even said this, but I imagine if I were a teacher, it would be he has to listen to the same damn song every week as I struggle through it. But my point is that I want to keep violin like that. I don't want to push that into a place where there are expectations of me. And if you want that for your writing, then go from shiny project to shiny project, because that's where the fun is. On the other hand, I think a lot of people here are hoping to one day start a project and finish a project. And that's when you have to realize that once your story starts to do that thing that your significant other did about 3 or 6 months into the relationship, when you realized each other was human, you gotta stick with it. And even if it sucks, and even if you hate it, when you finish a project, you are maybe not leveling up, but you're certainly gaining experience points. I was asked to, there's a little bit of a spoiler, but I don't think I'm going to ruin it for too many people, because NaNoWriMo is so much bigger than I should be writing. But I am on the board of NaNoWriMo, which I'm not really sure what that means. They email me for like advice for other people kind of thing. And so I got an email from NaNoWriMo asking, you know, we're going to be focusing on finishing the project for Camp NaNoWriMo next month. And can you give us any advice on finishing something? And it's hard because of what I just said. You want to do the shiny fun stuff. And then when you hit NaNoWriMo and you hit your 50,000, that's a huge accomplishment. But I think one of the problems is that when you hit that 50,000 words and you've made that huge milestone and you realize it's not done yet, it's like someone hands you a bag of rocks at the end of a marathon and says, oh, by the way, you're not done, so you need to walk a couple more miles carrying these rocks. And I think that might slow some people down. So what I said was, you know, storytellers of old always started and finished their stories. They didn't just tell half a story around a campfire and then get up and wander into the woods. So finishing something is a major milestone, and it may not be as sexy as hitting 50,000, and your story may suck, but I think there's a certain amount of unconscious, even if you think it's awful, it's an unconscious victory when you finish something. And so even if you don't have an external deadline, and even if you don't have, even if you think it's crap, even if you never plan to show it to anybody, remember that for you, finishing that story is important. It really is. And then you still learn something. And so when you start a new thing, you also need to remember that that one's going to turn as boring and pedantic, and obviously every twist you have planned will be broadcasted for miles beforehand, so nothing will be a surprise. And this is a really old and stupid idea, and you can't imagine why you ever thought it was sexy the night before in the dance club when you first had the idea. But that happens to everybody. For every project. And you gotta remember that. If you want to be a writer, you need to remember that this is a thing that happens. The shiny stuff always wears off. And when it becomes work is when you really manage to take steps forward. Because then that's when you start to do the work. So, down to a productive level, a literal level, what do you do? What I do is I write stuff down. I've talked about my mini notebook problem. I will usually search for a piece of paper, and I will write down thoughts. More often than not, it's just a piece of paper and not a notebook, and I'll lose the piece of paper, but at least writing it down helps it cement it in my brain a little bit more. So I don't lose the idea. I'll write down everything that makes it shiny. And then I'll know that when I finally am done with my current projects, I can go on to that shiny idea and see how shiny it really was. And then it'll be another thing to work on to improve. Another thing to finish. So that's really what I have to say about the shiny idea that wants to distract you. And I think also part of it is there's a kid in your mind, and that kid is the one who says, I know this candy's bad for me, but I don't care because I'm going to eat it and no one's going to stop me. And the kid is the one that says, one more level of my video game before bed. Okay, one more. Okay, one more. And the kid is the one that says, this is boring. I want to play with a different toy now. And at some point you have to put that kid away and say, no, you started this project. You need to finish it. And then you get to play with the new toy that you'll get bored with. And then you got to grow up and finish it. How to do it without deadlines? That is tough, I will admit, because I haven't worked on a project without a deadline in a while. I think accountability is becoming a bigger thing with me. If you can find a friend that you not only... Like, right now I'm doing accountability stuff with people just to get my butt in the chair and get to work. I'm not doing any accountability for how much I'm working on, but at least I'm getting the time accountability in. But you can work on accountability stuff with other people. You can compare word counts. You can do challenges. For the Words is an excellent site that I don't use nearly enough. I think about it for a little while, and then I use it, and then I forget about it. And I'm not really sure why. But that is... thewords.com, and it's based... I'm moving stuff around my desk to write that down. If you didn't write it down, it's in the show notes. For the Words is an RPG site that takes your work and imagines you attack monsters by writing words. And so it has, like, a big-time monster is 2,000 words in 3 hours. And then once you start fighting that monster, you have 3 hours to write 2,000 words. Some people prefer to write in their own document. And then cut and paste into For the Words, which does help if your browser crashes, because you have no backups, because you need... But to stick with that time limit, you need to be writing in the word processor they provide you on the browser. Which isn't ideal, but sticking to those time limitations really influences me. They also have a couple of monsters that are, you just have to write continuously for 15 minutes. And if you stop writing, then you start losing hit points. And I think the only thing that happens if you lose hit points is the monster wins and your battle's over. It's no like long-term effect, or you don't need to go get healed or something. You can just start a new battle with a new monster. But the art is fun. There are quests. There are drops. There's crafting. And I think a lot of people get a lot out of it just because it helps them get words down. So that is one way you can work without a deadline, because you have other things pushing you to get words down. There's also an app called Write or Die, I believe, that has the same concept as the fighting the monster for constantly writing to fight the monster, only it, once you stop writing, the screen starts to turn red, and then if you stop long enough, it'll start playing terrible, terrible noise. And then if you go into the worst level, which I never have, is if you stop writing long enough, it'll start erasing words. So that's just masochistic. I would not do that. But the other ones people find, I have found the other options worthwhile, except, you know, sometimes you just need to stop writing and think for a second, and it doesn't let you do that. So you've got find an accountability buddy. You've got go to For the Words. I think it's free for the first month, but then you have to pay for it. It's not a lot of money, but it does do that really irritating thing of you have to buy with your money, your real world money, you have to buy fake money in the game. And with the fake money, you buy your subscription to the site. I don't know why. I'm sure there's some sort of online economics that makes that better than just, you know, let me send you $4 every month. Actually, I think it might benefit the writer more, because that, once you stop, you know, once you run out of monies, it can't charge you anymore. Unlike, you know, you signing up for to pay monthly via PayPal, and then you keep paying monthly until you remember to turn it off. So I really don't know why they do that. That is a nice protection, but it's still annoying to have to buy the thing to buy the thing. Some people are influenced by their own promise of reward. I've tried this. It does not work for me. Again, because of the six-year-old. Six-year-old in my head says, I'm an adult and I have spending money. And if I want that Lego set, I'm gonna go get it right now. I don't have to finish that book. I can have it whenever I want. So if you're driven by rewards and you have that much discipline, I'd think you wouldn't need to be driven by rewards. There's a paradox for you. But I have mentioned one bit of reward that works for me, which is I allow myself one pretzel M&M for every 100 words written. And then sometimes if I have to write a lot, I will like lay out that many M&Ms and just kind of eat them as I go on. That's kind of helpful for the little bitty milestones. For the big milestones, doesn't quite work for me. So if rewards work for you, that's great. And I do like to promise myself more of a gourmet reward. Not like something crappy to get after school kind of thing, to go back to the child metaphor. But more of, I'll drink wine, but I'm not going to buy the you know, $50 or $75 bottle of wine that I know is good because I bought it during an anniversary one time. But I'm not gonna... That's the kind of thing that I would consider a reward. But I don't know if that would make me finish. That would just be a reward after I finished. You know, it's not a carrot and a stick kind of thing. It's like the carrot and you didn't know the stick was there. My metaphors are going off the rails today. There's the question of the carrot and stick. Is it the carrot... Is the stick what the carrot's hanging off of, or is the stick what you beat the donkey with and therefore negative reinforcement? I can never remember. So, to reiterate, Accountability Buddy, a site like Ride or Die or For the Words, or you could see if food is inspiring enough as a reward and you don't sabotage yourself. That is my thoughts on how to work on projects that you don't have deadlines driving you to finish them. If you have any further questions, let me know. Otherwise, I will tell you, you can catch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/mightymer, or my website, merverse.com. Yeah, I'm on Twitter at mightymer. And I write books. If you like science fiction and you haven't heard of me, check me out. All my books are available at merverse.com, or you can look me up where books are sold. And have a good weekend. Be safe. You guys should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Emilio. You can find more about him at johnemilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should be right.